I'm going to go ahead and read another verse. You can just stay there, and I'm going to read another verse here before I read Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And I'm going to refer to actually a couple different verses here, just in opening scripture. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 we'll be reading. And then I'm going to go ahead and read a couple other verses, one in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 31. I protest, Paul's writing here to the church in Corinth, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ our Lord, I die daily. Now keep them three words in mind as I preach this morning, I die daily. You know, Paul was saying that if he was going to go ahead and be all that he can be and be live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, he's got to go ahead and take himself and remove himself and submit himself every single day to the Lord so that he can be a vessel fitly used for God. I die daily, he said. Over in Romans chapter, let me get here. I thought I had it marked. I do have it marked. Okay, Romans chapter 7, verse number 18. Again, Paul is writing here. You'll catch the theme here. I think once we get into the main text, you'll pick it up real quick. But Romans chapter 7, verse number 18, the Bible says this, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." I read again, "For I know," Paul gets it, he understands it. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And then, over in Mark chapter 2, we'll stand now for the reading of the Word of God. I'll read and then you read. Keep them verses in mind a little bit. I'll probably refer to them as I will move quickly this morning. I'll refer to them along the way, I'm quite sure, but Mark chapter 2. I'll read and then you read. We will read responsively verses 1 through 12. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk,' but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for today. I pray, Lord, right now that you'd be with this message. More than anything, I want to help your people. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to pastor these dear people. I pray you'd help me to speak. Lord, help me to say the words that you want said. Cast aside anything you don't want said. And I pray, God, we'd be attentive now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Glad you teenagers are up here. I love preaching to teenagers. So if I have a tendency to look at you, because maybe I need to look at you, I don't know. But teenagers, help me out by sitting up, paying attention this morning. I would never be say this to be unkind, but if you get out of line, I see it. I will say something, okay? All right? Because I love you, all right? But anyways, I'm glad that you're here today. Thank you for church for being in your place this morning. Again, I just want to go ahead and go back to our text here. This text records, I think, one of the greatest miracles of Jesus. Of course, the scripture teaches that he entered into Capernaum. It was brought to everyone's attention, rather. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. Now, let me just stop and say this. When Jesus is in the house, you know you're going to have a time, amen? And he was in the house and he was preaching. And I'll go back to that statement in a moment as well. You know what? Faith Baptist Church always needs to make sure that we have Jesus center point in the house of God. Amen. Everything we do must be to glorify Jesus with the preaching, the singing, the fellowship, the soul winning, the Sunday school. Everything needs to make sure that Jesus is focal point. Because when Jesus is in the house, you know that God's going to work on lives. The Holy Spirit will be able to move freely and so forth. But here was Jesus in the house, and boy, people were gathering together, and there was preaching going on, and the scripture teaches that the house was so full and packed that no one could enter. And so there were these soul winners. I'm just going to go ahead and call them as they are. They were concerned, if you will. A soul winner is concerned about other people, amen? A soul winner is concerned about a lost and dying world going to hell. And here was these men, if you will, born of four men. They had an unusual burden of this palsied man. Go ahead and get that palsied man to Jesus. I haven't turned this on yet, have I, Brother Joe? Okay, I'll get it. Yes, yes.
I saw that look. There we go. We got power now. Amen. All right, this power. All right, but there was four men, sense of urgency, and they were bearing a burden. And again, it wasn't your usual burden. They were carrying a palsied man, a paralyzed man, and they so wanted to get him to Jesus. You know, and I think their sense of urgency is proved by them not being able to get through the door. It was so packed out. There was no movement. There was no way. I could just see them. Here they are. They're carrying this heavy burden, this palsied man, okay? All dead weight, by the way, okay? And they're carrying this guy, and this house is packed out, and they're trying to push through the door. They can't get in. So, you know, and you see their sense of urgency. So what they do, they take this heavy dude, if you will, up on the roof, okay? And they break open the roof and lower the man to Jesus. Now, in verse number 4, let me just read very carefully. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, you know, back in these particular days, I was down in Florida here just recently. And, you know, if you go ahead and look at a lot of the roofs, they're made of these clay little tiles or whatever. And back in studying this a little bit, I see that a lot of the roofs, even back in Jesus' day, they were made of clay, okay? They had them clay tiles, so to speak. And there was a little staircase along, no doubt, if you will, okay? I wasn't there. But from what I understand, there's a little staircase that would go ahead and go up alongside of the house that would get you to the roof. So no, you know, picture with me a little bit. Here's these four guys. They had a sense of urgency. They're trying to get this guy into the room where Jesus is. They just wanted to get this guy to Jesus because they knew something was going on in there. And they knew that if they could get this man to Jesus, everything was going to be all right. But they couldn't get in there. So they took this guy and they went ahead and they go up the staircase there. They get up to roof. They said, okay, guys, all we can do is we got to break open this roof. Now picture with me for just a moment. They got to, you know, get whatever tools they had in the day or whatever, and just they did everything they could. And I don't think it was just casual breaking away. I think they were just, man, we got to get this thing, get this guy to Jesus. And they're just breaking away. They're doing everything they can, I think, in the quickest fashion they can to get this guy to Jesus. And when these men, these soul winners, with an urgency with deep concern, they broke away the clay. Their palsied friend experienced the grace of God, the grace of an almighty God that resulted in forgiveness of sins and the body being healed. This could not have happened. This miracle could not have happened without, first of all, the urgency of some men, some soul winners. You know, this isn't my message this morning, but, you know, we need to understand our time is short, church. You know, I say it time and time again, but our time is short. It doesn't take much to look around and see Jesus is coming very soon. When you look at the Islamic faith being filtered in and all kinds of stuff going on in the Middle East, you know what? Let me tell you something. We're on our way. Jesus is coming very, very soon. And you know, our time is short. What we need to do, we have the truth of the Word of God, and we need to go ahead and get the truth to the lost and dying world. Amen and amen. You know, we need to take care of our own Jerusalem, right? From your house, right on out to your neighbors and so forth. We need to take care of them. We need to have a burden for them. We need to tell them about Jesus, and we need to get it across the country, and we need to get it around the world, as we'll be discussing Missions Month coming up. But you know, but here was these men, you know what? But they had a concern, but this man would have never, this palsied man would have never been healed except for the urgency of some men, and then them breaking away, removing the clay. to get them to Jesus. I want to say our walk with Jesus will never be what it should be until the clay of our life gets removed. I'm talking about the clay which equals our flesh. Remember, Paul said, I die daily. Church, if we're going to be all that we can be for God, we need to go ahead and kill, so to speak, our flesh. We need to die to self every single day. If we're going to go ahead, you know, Paul said, you know, in my flesh, no good thing. We all, we're going to experience the true blessings of God, and we're going to experience all that God has for us. You know, we need to break away the clay. We need to tear down the flesh. We need to do as Paul said, I die daily. We need to go ahead and remove the roof. I'm talking about that clay that's in our life so that we can enjoy the blessings of God. Clay in the Bible is a type of this old flesh. You know, and when you go ahead and allow God to take your body or your clay, if you will, you remember God being the potter in Jeremiah chapter 18. We talked about it a few weeks ago. He's the potter and we are the clay. And boy, he can do great things when we just go ahead and yield ourselves to him and let him make us fit for his use. Thrills my soul to think that our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Potter, if you will, can take a lifeless clay, a sinful clay out of me and make something glorious out of it. But you know, this morning, I just want to go ahead and dwell on removing the clay. The clay of our flesh must be uncovered and broken up before we can experience the power and blessing of God in our lives. It is then when we allow the clay to be removed and broken that we can experience experience Jesus and his glory in a way that we never have. You see, when we remove the clay, number one, you can then examine the person of Jesus. You can then see him as he is. When these men removed the clay, them clay tiles on that roof, they knew Jesus when was in there. They heard it was noised abroad that he was going to be at this specific address preaching. And I don't know if they understood it was going to be so packed out or whatever. They did everything they could to get this man upon the roof. They could see. They knew that he was there. They knew that he was preaching, and they knew that he was down below preaching. And but they could not see him from their vantage point. Maybe they could just faintly hear him. Maybe Jesus was waxing eloquent. Maybe they could faintly hear him or not hear him at all. But they knew that to examine the person of Jesus, to examine who he really is, they needed to break the clay away. You see, Jesus becomes more discernible when you break the clay of the old flesh away. When you break that roof, so to speak, away, he becomes more discernible to you. You become aware of who he is. You see, on this journey of the Christian life, if you're not dying to self, you lose that awareness of the Savior. You know, you remember when you were excited when you got saved. You remember when you were excited about seeing people saved. You remember when, you know, you used to be overjoyed when a bus kid would get saved. You used to be overjoyed in listening to the preaching of the Word of God, not sit there so critical. And why did the preacher have to preach so hard and so forth? You know, you used to be so excited about singing the old hymns and the songs and telling people about Jesus and that ministry. You used to be so excited. But maybe somewhere along the way, the old flesh has gotten in the way. The old clay has gotten built up and it is telling you to go ahead and look the other way and look to the world. And, you know, this is no fun, and going this direction is no fun. What I'm trying to say then is when you break the old clay away, you can examine the person of Jesus. You will see him as he is. He becomes more discernible. You become aware of his presence. If you're not dying to self, you lose that awareness of the Savior. It puts you in a backslidden state. If you're not careful, you're going to get distracted. And let me say this, the devil would love nothing more for you to be distracted this morning. He'd love nothing more for you to be sitting here. You know, it may be that there's some of you here, but you're not really here. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you are here because my mom made me come, my dad made me come. You're here, but you have no clue what's going on. Let me tell you something. Eventually, it will catch up to you. That attitude that you cop and so forth, and, you know, my mom has wanted me here, so, you know, I'm here, and I'm just, you know, I don't even care what goes on here. You know, eventually, it will catch up. It will be very, very hard. It will be very, very hard. Just let me just stop and say this. The scripture says, the way of the transgressor is hard. You sit here with that sinful, critical attitude and I don't care and this and that. You know what? It becomes very, very difficult. And don't you forget, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But you know, it might be that awareness. It might be that you're not examining Jesus as he really is. You're not experiencing and enjoying the blessings that he really wants to bestow upon you. You're distracted this morning. And the devil loves it that you're tuning the preacher out. The devil loves it that you didn't hear the choir sing. The devil loves it that you're just maybe here, but you're not really here. You're watching your clock, or maybe you're playing on your cell phone right now, whatever the case may be, showing disrespect to God's authority. Again, it'll catch up to you. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you become so distracted, you don't even care. And you lost that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory that the Christian life can bring simply because you got sin in your life. No, you're saved, perhaps. You're on your way to heaven. You know, and there was a time you were excited about everything that goes on, but now you're distracted. You got stuff in your life. You got junk in your life that's causing you to lose sight and causing you to lose the awareness of Jesus. Removing the clay allowed these men to see Jesus. They were aware of him. You know, on the roof, they knew that he was under there, but his voice was dimmed. They could hardly hear him. They probably couldn't even hear him at all. Why could they hear him? Why was his voice dimmed? Simply because the clay was in the way. The flesh was in the way. Is Jesus... Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus' voice hidden from you today? Is it dimmed? Oh, the Holy Spirit, you know what? He moves aside you, but let me ask you a question. There's just so much stuff. You're not willing to die daily. There's just so much stuff in your life that, you know, the Holy Spirit of God, he's been trying to speak to you. Sean, but somewhere you've gotten hard and you just lost sight and you just don't care anymore. And he's whispering, Sean, but because the flesh is so built up, you know what? Is his voice hidden from you today? Is it because there's some clay that needs to be removed this morning? You see, when you desire to heed to the flesh, you cannot expect to hear God's voice and have him in total view of your life until you get the clay removed. Paul said, I die daily. Paul understood that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nothing hides the lovely face of our Savior more than the stinking old flesh. I'm talking about our attitudes. I'm talking about notice the personal pronoun. You didn't think I knew that, huh? Personal pronoun. I know what a personal pronoun is, even though I didn't do well in English. But anyways, but our attitudes. Our actions. Our affections or our desires, our fears, our failures, our foolishness, our sins, our shortcomings, our silliness, they all hide the face and diminish the voice of God. Our greeds, our grudges. You know, it might be there's someone here in church this morning, you ill will. Somebody in here, boy, you know, just one sight of them, your skin just starts crawling, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Your grudges. It's no wonder why you're not experiencing the blessings of God simply because you've got ill will against another Christian brother. You ought to go talk to him about it and take care of it and get over it, amen? Okay. I know Jesus is with me anyways, but I call that an amen anyways. But our grudges, our hurts, our hates, our worries, our wanderings, they all stand between us and God. They all stand between us and seeing and hearing our Savior clearly. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Are you wondering where God is going? God is still in his place. He doesn't you, okay? He's, you know, you can't lose your salvation, but you know what? There might be enough junk in your life now that's just built up. You've lost sight of this. You've lost sight of the ministry. You've lost sight of doing right. You've lost sight of living clean and pure. You've lost sight of everything that's right. You've lost sight of your Bible reading. You've lost sight of your life. You've lost sight of soul winning. You've lost sight of preaching, whatever the case may be. And you know what? Now you wonder, where is God? Do you wonder where he is this morning? And if you're asking that question, God, where are you? I know that I made a decision of faith. I know that I'm saved. I even know that I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know what I got saved. But you know what? But the interaction just doesn't seem to be there, simply because probably there's some clay there. Flesh. It stinks. It could be because there's some clay there. Ahead and go get yourself a crowbar, and you need to go ahead and get that crowbar and knock the clay away so you can get to where God is and get him working in your life again. You know, listen, he's there. You wonder where he is? He's there. He's always with you, but what is keeping you from seeing and hearing him clearly? What is it? What is it? Is it rock music? Rock me, what? Yeah, I said it. Rock music that sings about rebellion, that sings about sex outside of marriage, that sings about rebellion against all kinds of godly authority in your life. You know what? That ain't the music you should be listening to. But is it rock music? Is it friends? God, I'll do whatever, but don't you touch my friends. But is there friends that are keeping you from doing what God wants you to do? And you wonder, why is it that you don't hear his voice? And why is it that you don't feel that power and that excitement, that joy? Is there a friend that's in your life that says, man, I can't do away with this friend. I can't do away with that boyfriend or that girlfriend. I just need to have them in my life. But you know, if they're not pushing you to Jesus, they're no friend at all. Is it a friend? I'm talking to everybody. I'm not just talking to teenagers this morning. Though teenagers, you might have some issues in your life. I'm talking about music, talking about friends. I'm talking about, but you know what? It might be every single one of us here this morning. What is it? What is it that's keeping you from really seeing God clearly, discerning him, having him be aware that he is there? And God has spoken, Sean. I'm using me as an illustration. Because if I use some other name, there might be that name here, and you think I'm talking to you, so I may as well just shoot at me, amen. But Sean. Sean. And it could be that my life's so filled up with junk that is no longer discernible. You know, God's teaching us here this morning, remove the flesh. Paul said, I die daily. Every single day, you got to die to yourself. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. These men, they broke the clay away and they found what they were looking for. You know, let me just stop and say that this clay that's in the way this morning, what I like about that is if we ever get in a backslidden state, I've been there before. Every single one of us, if we had the pulpit, we probably could testify that we've been in a backslidden state a time or two before. You know what I like about that? When I get in that rebellious, backslidden state, I know that when I go ahead and break down the walls and break down the flesh and so forth, I know that Jesus is still going to be there ready for me. I love that. I love the fact that, boy, when things are built up and when maybe I went ahead and hurt him and hurt others or whatever the case, I realized, man, I did wrong and my flesh took over and I got on my knees. Out, oh God, forgive me, oh God, forgive me. And when I break down that flesh and that clay, Jesus is still right there. Come on, buddy. Come on, come on, come on. He's still right there. I love it. I love it. You know, but what distracts you from seeing your Savior clearly? What is it? Is it your flesh? Is there some things in the way that ought to go ahead and be broken down this morning? When the clay is broken up, that says that I humble myself before you, God. I'm humbling myself. I'm repenting. The wall of separation between you and I is broken down, and you can see him clearly again. Just as the sheep must see the shepherd, Just as the bride must see the bridegroom, just as the son must see the father, the Christian must see the Savior. Seeing him will make the Christian life so much easier when you just keep him in focus. Listen, church. Listen, Christian. Break down the clay this morning. Where's your joy? I used to be that excited. When the preacher got up and we preached eloquently and waxed eloquence, you know, I was in, man. Boy, the Spirit stirred, but, you know, I used to do that. I used to do this. I used to be out soul winning on Saturday or whatever. I used to this, and we got all kinds of different reasons, but you know what? The main reason could very well be because of the flesh. I used to go to Sunday school, but I used to go to Sunday school at 9:25, but I can't get up in the morning. What's that saying? The flesh. This morning was a hard morning. Probably, and I'll admit. 3,000 miles round trip. You feel bad for me yet? 3,000 miles round trip. It was beautiful country, though. It really was. I thank God. My wife is a driver. She likes to drive, and if she noticed I didn't want to drive, she just said, I'll take the wheel now, which is great, no problem, because I like watching the countryside. The Virginia, I just got a little commercial break here. But Virginia, beautiful state, by the way. I mean, it was all woods, man. It was all, I mean, it is a hunter's dream, amen? It was all woods. And so forth, and I just got thinking, boy, you know what? It'd be awesome to live up on that mountain with just little log cat, Grizzly Adams. You remember Grizzly Adams? I'm dating myself now, the big old, bee, you know, and live up on that mountain, and boy, just go ahead and just, God and I, amen? But I don't think my wife would like that very much. See your face now. But I say that, and why do I say that? I'm not sure. I was going somewhere with it anyways, but it was good. I know it was. But anyways, just had to tell you a little bit about my trip. Don't you feel bad that I drove 3,000? That was a long trip. Anyways, okay, I'm repeating myself. Anyways, okay, I better stop because my wife will say something later on. But you need to move the clay to discern him. You need to move the clay to make it more desirable. You know, when one lives in sin, the first person one does not want to dwell on is Christ. When one is living in sin, okay, the one that you're not looking for is Christ. The one that you're not dwelling on is Christ when you're living in known sin. A parent asks a child, go clean your room. I'm going to be gone a couple hours. You know, parents, you know what I'm talking about now. You've got this story that you know this happened in your life, but I'm going to be gone a couple hours. I want your room cleaned. Okay, in the especially if it's a boy, okay? The boy's got to, okay, they said about 2 hours, 2 hours. I still got time for video games. I still got time and this and that. I think I can track the time just right so that I can go ahead and I know how to clean my room. I can just shovel everything underneath the bed and so forth and push everything in the closet. You know, a guy's got it all figured out. You know what? But you know what? He gets into the video games. The friends come over while mom and dad is away. They've already said, hey, you know what? Clean your room and whatever the case may be. All of a sudden, mom and dad walks in. Hey, son, how you doing? Mom, dad, how you doing? Let me just stop and say this. The first people he's not looking for is mom and dad. He's not desiring mom and dad at that time. Christian, that's exactly the way it is in Christian life. You're living in sin. You're living in whatever. You get some that weight, that sin, whatever that's easily besetting you and so forth. Let me just stop. The one that you're not dwelling on, the very person that you're not fixing your eyes to, is not Christ at that time. He is not desirable. You've not set your affections on him. Your affections are elsewhere. You know, instead of you need to make him more desirable. When you break the clay away, you'll be more aware, more discerning of him, but you'll also be more desirous of him. Psalms chapter 42. I just go ahead and read quickly, verse number 1. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, he was, you know, talk about deer there, okay? You know, thirsty, panteth after the water brooks. So panteth, the psalmist says, so panteth as a thirsty deer is so thirsty for water. They're blading, if you will. They're drinking and they want water. Hey, you know what? The psalmist says, so I long after you. I ought to be panting after you. But when you're living in sin, you're not panting after God. You're not desiring God. You're not thirsting for God. Hey, queer Christian, are you thirsty for God this morning? You read your word. Have you read the word of God this morning? Have you walked with God this week? Or is there some reason that, boy, you know, if you gravitate toward the word of God, you know that the word of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to speak to you about some sin, so you distance yourself from it. You've distanced yourself, and as you distance yourself from the word of God, you distance yourself from prayer, you distance yourself from the preacher, you distance yourself from anything, right? And eventually, you're distancing yourself right out the doors of the church. Because you've lost your hunger. You've lost your desire simply because there's likely got to be some clay that's got to be broken away. See, when you get the clay out of the way, you can see Jesus as he is. You can examine him as he is. When you remove that clay, you enter into the presence. Picture with me, after these men removed that clay, they were able to lower that paralyzed, that palsied man into God's presence. You know what they did? Ultimately, they gave their burden, which is the palsied man now, they gave their burden to Jesus. You know, you can too. It might be this morning, you've got the burden of sin. It might be this morning, you've got other burdens. It might be this morning, you've got the burden of losing a loved one, or burden of losing a job. The burden of losing your cat, I don't know, but you've got some sort of burden, maybe financial burdens, financial woes, whatever the case may be. And you know, here this guy, with these guys, what they did, they lowered that burden, if you will, to Jesus. They entered into his presence, and they gave their burden to Jesus. And that's what you can do. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Call unto me, all ye that, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you understand that God wants you to bring, he's inviting you, bring your burden to me. Just bring it. Once you break the clay away, then you can go ahead and enter into Jesus' presence. And you need to bring that burden, if you will, to Jesus. And you need to just go ahead and talk to Jesus. That's why it's good to use the altar. Not for my indulgence, but it's good to go ahead and use the altar often. Boy, you know, you ought to have, so to speak, your footmarks ought to be down that aisle on a regular basis to the altar. Not from me or the preacher, but you know, if your heart is stirring in your heart, and you know the Holy Spirit is dealing, it might be that he wants you to read your Bible more. It might be that he wants to give you some things, but it might be that there's some things that he wants you to lay at the cross, so to speak, at the altar, and say, go ahead and let me carry that burden with you. You know, use the altar often. You know, you can go ahead and lay your burden down too. What is it that you're carrying this morning? Is it the weight of sin? Then get it right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's that word cleanse again in sign language? I had to see it. Clean, yeah. I had to just remember there, clean. And to clean us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, what's your burden this morning? Is that burden keeping you from entering the presence of Jesus? It might not even be necessarily sinful stuff, but that you're here this morning, you're just carrying a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I'm talking about just problems. I'm talking about death. I'm talking about illness. I'm talking about jobs. I'm talking about bills. I'm talking about whatever. And you're carrying it, and it's weighing you down. It's causing you to lose sight of Jesus. And he's saying, come on. Bring it to me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, when you break that clay away, you can then enter into the presence of Jesus. And then number three, I'll be done. When you break that clay away, Not only do you examine his person, not only do you enter his presence, but then you experience his power. After the clay was removed, the paralyzed man got to Jesus and experienced his power in a twofold way. Number one, his cleansing power. In verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He was cleansed of all his sins. You know what? One of the powers that he experienced from Jesus was the cleansing power. When we uncover the clay of our lives through confession and we break up that clay through a humble repentance, you too will experience the cleansing power of God. You know what you need to do, Christian? Maybe you're here today. You've got sin in your life. God has exposed it this morning. The Holy Spirit's gone ahead and shown that spiritual flashlight right in on it. Say, it's time to go ahead and get it right. Because until you get it right, you cannot experience my blessings. I have a whole bunch of blessings I want to bestow upon you. But until you experience, until you go ahead and ask for forgiveness and cleansing, I cannot bless you. And if you're here today, you've got some sort of life, you ought to just say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to carry it anymore. I know it's wrong. I know it's wicked. I know that God's not going to bless me. I know he's going to bless my family. I know he's going to affect not just me. It'll affect those under me. And you know what you need to do, Christian? You need to get to the altar and say, okay, God, forgive me. When you get to Jesus, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Maybe you're spinning your wheels this morning spiritually. Is there known sin in your life that needs to be cleansed? You're not going to have his power until it's cleansed. What is it that's limiting God's power in your life? What is it? Again, it could be sin. But it could be a weight. Could be a weight, something that's not necessarily sinful, but it's in the way of you really experiencing the power of God in your life, experiencing the true blessing. Something because it's a weight. You've allowed it to infiltrate your life in a way that it's gotten you really out of focus on God. The Bible says to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us in Hebrews 12:1. You know, it might be sin, but it might be a weight. It might be something else. It might be something else that you just need to go ahead and lay at his feet. It's just something that you need to go ahead and ask for forgiveness so that you can see him clearly again, so to speak. So that you can hear him clearly. What is it that's dimming the voice of God in your life? It used to be, Sean, 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 you heard it good and clear. But now there's just some flesh, just some clay that you can't hear it very clearly. Because you have gotten in the way. You know the worst enemy to me living the Christian life is me. Just go ahead and point, it's me. It's me. I can blame God. You know, the reason why I don't have these blessings or whatever. God, no, don't point it to God. Well, it's them deacon. No, it's not. It's that, no. Don't forget, you go ahead and you point your finger at somebody, three are pointing right back at you. Me. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Me. You know, and it might be that you got to go ahead and say, God, I need you, and get on your knees and pray to him and talk to him. Listen to me. What is it that's blocking God from speaking to you? He not only experienced his cleansing power, but he also experienced his changing power. Verse number 10, the Bible says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth from them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. This man was changed. He went in, laying on a bed, but he walked carrying that bed with him, heading to his house. He was changed. This tells me that Jesus did not just touch the inside, he touched the outside of this man. He changed his life. He had to be carried in, but he left in his own power. He met Jesus and everything changed. Yes, the inside, but also the outside. The Bible says that we never saw it on this fashion. That says that people, that means that people, wow, this man was changed, not just on the inside, but the outside. Listen to me. When you get saved, yes, he comes in, makes a change in here. When you allow him to make a change in here, you know what? It starts infiltrating onto the outside, that you start being a walking testimony. What I'm saying is, when people see you, do they see Christ? When the world looks at you, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at you, what do they see? Do they see hope, love? Or do they see the world? Do they see Jesus? Can they tell that, boy, you know, you got saved, and because you got saved, well, you just started coming onto the outside, and people say, man, I want what you have. There's something different about you. You got that spring. You got that joy. You've got that excitement. Or is it just sin all over you? Yeah, you could be saved. I suppose, you know, you made a decision for Christ. But did he really change? Did he really change you on the inside to a point where you're willing to take a stand for him? Listen, this guy was changed completely. You know, listen to me. Your testimony, listen to me, Christian, your testimony ought to speak volumes for Christ. They ought to, you know what? You may not be able to necessarily verbally witness as you're working your job and so forth, and you do, you know, as you're on the clock and so forth. But you know what? They ought to be able to tell wherever you are, whether you're walking down the mall, whether you're walking down the street, whether you're walking at work or whatever. People ought to be able to say, boy, you know what? That guy, that gal, there's something different about them. Why are they different? Because Jesus, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I got born again. This man, he had to be carried in, but he left on his own power. Let me tell you something. It was not just a change on the inside. It was a change on the outside. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus had come to Capernaum. People gathered to hear him. There's noise abroad. Jesus was in the house. Things were going on. There's four men. I like to consider them soul winners. They had a heavy burden. They brought a palsied man. They couldn't get him through the back doors. They couldn't get him through any door for that matter. So they took him up on the roof, and they, I think, just urgently was breaking that clay away so that that man could get to Jesus, to see Jesus as he is, to enter into his presence, and to experience his power. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus changing you? He ought to. Is he the focal point of your life? Is he the focal point of your marriage? Is he the focal point of your ministry? Is he the focal point at your job site? Is he the focal point of all that you do? Is Jesus making a change in your life? Were you once excited? Yes, I love it! But somewhere along the way, maybe years. Bus kids, yeah. It used to be bus kids, yes, praise the Lord. You know, yeah, they threw some trash on the ground, but you were still excited because they were here. Now, bus kids, yeah. Pastor says don't throw trash on the floor. He's got to go clean it up after. What happened? The same people are here. When you're excited, when you got saved, you're excited. Wow, look at all that's going on. Boy, people getting saved. Boy, lives are being changed. My family's been saved. Boy, you know what? This is awesome. But you know what? Some years down the road, oh, yeah, bus kids again. Yeah, they're just trashing everything, and they cuss me out or this and that. And listen, I'm not condoning that. Don't you misunderstand me. But you were once excited when they came and they heard about Jesus. Oh, soul winning. Oh, that's the program of the church. Soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Bible, Bible, Bible. Preaching, preaching, whatever. He used to be excited about it all. But what happened? There are times I can lose excitement. I'm confessing. Your pastor can lose excitement from time to time. I recognize quickly that, boy, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. Flesh, get out of the way! Have you lost your joy this morning? What is it that's keeping you from really hearing God's voice clearly? You know what it is. I don't. Some think that the pastor, no. Yeah, he preached that because, you know, yeah, okay. Like I have time to go ahead and have a little notepad come to the door and spy through your little glass, your little window to find out what you're doing. Not. But you know who does? The Holy Spirit of God. And it could be this morning there's some things in your life. I've had to examine some things in my life this summer. Some things that just got in the way. What is it that's causing you to hear his voice clearly? What is it that's causing you to see him clearly? What is it that's causing you to really get into his presence and to experience his power? What is it? Could it be that there's some clay that needs to be cut out of the way so that you can have that excitement, that joy, that spring in your step? That joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Christian, what is it this morning that's keeping you from hearing God clearly? Maybe here today you say, Pastor, I can't hear him clearly simply because I don't know Jesus as Savior. The truth of the matter is, if I died today, I do not know 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. I've heard the gospel plan, but my old flesh always has a tendency to get in the way when the gospel plan's brought up. You don't need to listen to it now. You don't need to listen to it now. But you know, you know, you know, in your heart of hearts, you're not saved. And the truth of the matter is, if you die in your sin without Jesus Christ ever saving you, God's word says hell will be your eternal destiny. If you're here today, you know what, maybe you can't even experience all that God wants to give you simply because you've not started out with being saved. Do you know Jesus as Savior? That's where it begins, folks. That's where the glory begins. That's where the joy, that's where the excitement begins is, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? If you don't, we would be overjoyed to show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. By the way, it's not Faith Baptist Church way to get you to heaven. Not a Catholic way. You can go ahead and get dunked, sprinkled, and poured on all you want, but that's not going to get you to heaven. Baptism. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to get to heaven, you got to do it Jesus' way. You got to go through Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, I know I'm talking basically the home crowd, but if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You know that you're not experiencing all that God wants you to experience, that a Christian can experience simply because you've not gotten saved. Here today, you don't know Jesus. Boy, this is a great opportunity. Won't you come forward and shake my hand and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. We'll show you from God's word how to be saved. Christian, if you're here today, and the voice of God seems to be dimmed, why don't you go ahead, you and God, and get that old chisel. Get the old sledgehammer, not chisel, that's too small, but get the old spiritual sledgehammer out of the way and start just whacking that clay away. And get back into the presence of God and start experiencing his power again. And leave here different than you came. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you for today. If you love and goodness to us, Lord. Certainly it's good to be home. And I pray, dear God, that you go ahead and you bless this invitation. I pray that you'd help your people. I pray your people have been helped. I know that you've helped me. I thank you for this truth this morning. I pray if there is some dear child of God that needs to have the moves, they've lost that joy, that excitement, they've lost that voice, they've lost that whatever that they once had, I pray today they'd go ahead and cut away and knock away that roof, that clay that's keeping them from experiencing the true power of God. I pray you maybe be with one. Maybe there's someone under the sound of a voice that doesn't know you as Savior. I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.